For today's daf, it is Chavtes, but we'll start from the bottom of Chav Ches and Biz. It's probably worthwhile doing the Mishnah. Again, so the Mishnah tells us that Shlosha Achim, if there are three brothers, Shnai Mehem Nisun Shtei Achayos, two of the brothers are married to two sisters, O Isha Bita, or they're married, one's married to a woman and daughter, a mother and daughter, O Isha Bas Bita, or a grandmother and a granddaughter, O Isha Bas Bina, or again, a grandmother and a granddaughter from the daughter this time. So again, the two brothers are married to two different women who are related to each other, either through sisters, through mothers, through grandmothers. And if these two husbands die, so then the halacha is that the remaining brother has to do chalitza to both women, but he cannot do yibum. And the reason being, because since now when both brothers die, they're both wives are now zakuk to the third brother. There's these lines that are drawn. So if he were to do yibum with one of them, he'd be pogeya with the sister of the zika. He's a zika to both of them. It's also to marry two sisters. So if we view zika as somewhat of marriage to it, if he's yavam on the other one, no matter which one it is, it's going to always be violating the sister of one who he's already zakuk to. So therefore, only chalitz is permitted. He does chaltos v'lo misyamos. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Shimon says he doesn't require anything, no chalitza either. And the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning for that. Let's say the Mishnah says, Hayisah achas man asur alav iser erva. So let's say one of these sisters is asur, he married two sisters, for example, and one of the sisters happens to be asur to the brother, for whatever reason that might be. It could be, I'm not sure how to create such a case, but he's asur. No, but not to the third brother, though. Two brothers married two sisters. Now this brother, somehow, but then he'd be the sister with the other one also.
Not necessarily.
Unless you do. Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe chutz. Okay. So, however you create. Yeah, exactly. Right. So, some way he's related to one of the sisters or maybe the grandmother, but not to the granddaughter. So, that one is crossed out. He has no zika to her, but he has a zika to the other one. So, the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us that Aser ba umutter ba chosa. He's Aser, the third brother now is Aser to that one who's an Ervatim, but he becomes mutter to the sister, in which case he could even perform Yibum. But let's say he's only usher to one of the wives as Isser Mitzvah or Isser Kedusha. We said was either because one of the secondary, the second tier of Arayos, which are only usher Midirabanan, but Midiraisa he's Mutter, or it's an Isser Kedusha, which is a Kohen to a Grusha, although it's usher, it's not at high level. So those cases, really Mikra Din, Yibum's permitted, so we say you have to do Choltos V'lo Misabmos to both of them. Even though one of them's usher to him, and maybe you should cross out the Zika, and only one Zika left, it's not really usher to him, that other wife, therefore Chalitza is necessary for both, not Yibum. So the Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Shimon Poter B'shtem Min Chalitza U'min HaYibum. Rabbi Shimon told us in the Mishnah that he says you don't require, in the case of two brothers die and two sisters remain, the third brother does not require to do anything, not even Chalitza. They're off the hook. Why? What's the reasoning? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'isha el achosa lo sikach litzura. The Pasuk tells us, this I believe is in Achrimos, and a woman and her sister, one may not marry litzura because it's going to create tsaros, it's going to create competition. So the Gemara says, what's the drasha? B'sha shenasa tsaros zulazu lo ye lekuchen, afil ba'achas men. So they're saying as follows, that if, there's two ways to read the Pasuk. The simple reading of the Pasuk is, if you're married to one sister, you cannot marry another sister. But let's say the opposite. Let's say they become tsaros first. They're both co-wives at the same time. They're now co-wives to the third brother because they both have zikas to them. Then, lo sikach, you can't marry either one of them. Kedushin's not an option. Yibum's not an option. And therefore, they're completely off the hook. That's the drasha according to Rabbi Shimon. Then the Gemara says, Hayosa achas man v'chule. Let's say one of the sisters was aser midin erva to him. So then he's allowed to do yibum with the other sister. Ask the Gemara, Hasulamali, Hainuhach, why do we have to teach this case? Didn't we already learn this case? Hainuhach is which case? One of the previous missions we learned in the Gemara? Let's see. Right. We learned this earlier. So this concept of if he's usher to one of them, midin erva, so he's usher to do yibum, and he's both to do yibum with the other one, that's already taught. So the Gemara tells us, no, there's a Rabbi Shimon Itzrich. We need this according to Rabbi Shimon, who said before he's pater from chalitza for both wives. Why? Sa kadaita chamina. We would have thought hoil v'amar Rish Lakish Rabbi Shimon rather. Shteya chayos lecholtos lo misabnos. So since Rabbi Shimon held that if two sisters fall to the third brother, no chalit is necessary, we would think that in the case of Ligzer Mishum Sheachayos Dalma, so maybe even in a case where one of the two sisters is Asherim, there's really only one Zika, but we may would think that we should be Gozer in every case, because if we allow a case of two sisters where one is Asherim, Midinerva, we allow him to deepen with the other one, that might say, wait a second, in another case of other two sisters, which both are actually mutatim, maybe we would permit in such a case or require chalitza, so maybe we should therefore go there that you cannot do yibum even in a case of only where one sister is mutta and the other one's aser. Kamash b'la, no, even in that case, we're not gozer. Rabbi Shimon, even he would agree that you can do yibum to the one who is not aser to this third brother. Then the Gemara says, the last few words on the page, Isser mitzvah. We said if one of the wives of Asa only did an Isser mitzvah, but really made their Isa, that wife is mutter to the third brother, then in theory, Yibum is permitted, so and therefore once Yibum is permitted, Chalitza is also necessary. So then you would require Chalitza from both parties. But the Gemara says, Vaha Amar Rabbi Shimon, doesn't Rabbi Shimon say, Shtei Achayos, a situation of two sisters, Lo Choltos, Lo Misyabos, but you're not supposed to do Chalitza, not supposed to do Yibum. So doesn't Rabbi Shimon, shouldn't he say in this case, Rabbi Shimon should come along and say, you don't need anything in this case. So why does the Mishnah say, seem to say, according to both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon, Chalitza is necessary? The Tanakhama, we understand why Chalitza is necessary. Because there's Zika to both, you have to do Chalitza. But Rabbi Shimon has the drasha, if at the same time two sisters fall at the very same time, the drasha was there's no need for Chalitza at all. So why does the Gemara seem to, the Mishnah seem to say this Chalitza is necessary even according to Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says, Gzeira mishum iser mitzvah da'alma. What's going to happen here in this case, if we say, according to Rabbi Shimon, that you're off without any chalitza, you're going to say, oh, that's because there's an iser mitzvah involved here. And we're going to be concerned that in another case where there's an iser mitzvah, maybe also you wouldn't require chalitza, but you really do in another situation. And for that reason, midirabanan, it seems Rabbi Shimon would require an iser mitzvah. So then the Gemara says, "Hotinach ihi." So we understand the one, the iser mitzvah herself. Don't only do chalitza to the one who's aser mitzvah. The only one who's a second tier iser. But Achosa, her sister, Mike Lemema. What's the gzeira necessary of the for the sister? That's not going to lead. So maybe Rav Shimon shouldn't require chalitza for the other sister. Only for the one who's the iser mitzvah, because that's the gzeira that he's concerned that in general. Where there is an Isser Mitzvah, if we don't require Chalitza in this case, maybe we will not require Chalitza in other cases by an Isser Mitzvah when we really do. So maybe only do Chalitza to the Isser Mitzvah and don't do Chalitza to the Stam Achosa. Where I say it's a Gzeir Achosa Mishim Lasodida. No, we require Chalitza on Achosa. So in order that you should do Chalitza on the Isser Mitzvah, in order that in general we know to do Isser Chalitza on the Isser Mitzvah. Okay, a little bit confusing. But what do you mean by a case of an erva, not an iser mitzvah, not an iser kedusha, but a mamish erva, which aser midiraisa? So there we have no such gzera. Why don't we say you should do chalitza in the case of erva, because it might come to allow for an iser mitzvah? So the Gemara answers, shiny erva, the megamar gemir la inchi v'kala isla. Everybody knows that already. It's mesora. When it comes to an erva, you never require chalitza. And no one's going to say, oh, if you don't need chalitza by kedusha by erva, maybe you don't need chalitza by iser mitzvah. No, everybody knows there's a difference. By erva, there's no need for chalitza, but by iser mitzvah, there is a need for chalitza. Okay. That's the next part, it's a little bit easier. The next mixture tells us about the issues of Mimer. We spoke of Mimer in the past, that Mimer was, if... Let's say, for example, two brothers die and there are two remaining wives, and there's a third brother who's alive. If he does Mimer with one of the Yivamos, he solidifies that relationship. Mimer is a Kedusha Midirabon. He gives Kesef Kedushin. He marries her, acquires her. And the Gemara, the mission the Gemara wants to discuss for the rest of the Daf, how strong is this Mimer? How concrete is it? So the Mishnah says, Shlosha Achin, if there are three brothers, Shnaim Nisun Shtei Achayos. Two brothers are married to two sisters. Ve'echad mufna, and there's one single brother. Meis echad ni bale achayos. One of the brothers who married the sisters die. Va'asa ba mufna maimer. So the third brother who's single does maimer to that widow now. Va'acharkach meis achiv hasheni. But then Shimon, the second brother, dies. So what's the halacha? So Beishame omrim that ishto imo. It's his wife.
Who is his wife?
So the one he did Maimer with, that's his full-fledged wife. Look at Rashi towards the bottom on the Mishnah. It says Masnisen.
Before
the Yibum, exactly. So look what Rashi says. Three wide lines down, it says Masnisen Ishto Imo. This is Beis Shammai. Shammai says, once you do Maimer, it's your Ishto. De Maimer Kichnusa Damia. When you do Maimer, it's as if you married her completely. V'chinofla Choso. When the second brother dies, and his wife, who's now the sister of the Balas Maimer, when she falls to you, lo misaser hachale, it's not going to aser the one who you've done mimer to already, because once you did mimer, it's a full-fledged wife, and when the other sister falls, it's already achos isha, that's the sister of your wife, which asers to you, she's off the hook. That's all according to Beis Shammai, where Beis Shammai holds, mimer is pretty much a full-fledged kedushin. But, according to Beis Hillel, amrim, motzi es ishto beget ubechalitza, uve'eshes achiv bechalitza. What has to happen now, once Shimon dies, he has to do chalitza to Reuven's wife because to undo the mimer. And then, sorry, he has to do get to the one who did mimer with because it's somewhat of a kedushin mimer. But he also has to do chalitza because it's not a full mimer. It's still somewhat of a zika there. He has to do both. And that's because now, since he never fully married her, once the second wife falls to him, there's these double zikas going on. And he does Yibam with Reuven's wife, he's being pogea in the sister of his Zika, of Shimon's wife. And if you to do Yibam with Shimon's wife, he's being pogea in the sister of the Zika of Reuven's wife. So therefore, he has to knock them both out. And he has to do Chalitza also to Shimon's wife. And Zu Hisham, with this, is where we have the fallen klal, Oilo al Ishto, Voilo al Ishes Achiv. Woe to him, to this third brother, who cannot marry his wife, who he did Maimer to. He's forced to divorce her and do Chalitza. And woe to him on the sister, the wife of his brother, of Shimon's wife, who he also has to do Chalitza and can't marry either one. He's stuck with nothing to marry, or no one to marry. Okay. So this last line of the Mishnah, it says, Zuhi, this is where we apply that klal of Oilo al Ishto, Oilo Al-Ishid-Achiv, the Gemara says, now, Zu Hilamutemai, what do you mean this? Amruzu, this is the case we say, this Oilo, Oilo. Is there another case? Why Dafka Zu? Zu comes to say this and not the other case. So the Gemara tells us, yes, Lamutemai, what's according to Zu? Where is there another application of Oilo where we say is not true? Lamute Hach de Rabbi Yeshua, the law of Dinim Kevasai. I'll tell you what that means in a second, but this is a pin of Rabbi Yeshua who comes up on Daf Kuf Tesam Aleph, where he applies this language of Oilo Alisho, Oilo Al Eshes Achiv. He says that we go against him. We do not pask in that way. So what does Rabbi Yeshua talk about? What's the situation there? The case there is as follows. You have a situation of a Reuven and Shimon marry two sisters.
What is the case in this?
Kuf Tesam Aleph. So, we'll get there. No, Kuf.
Oh, Kuf.
80 Daf, we'll get there.
It's not here.
Not there. So, the one day at a time. We'll get there by...
It's a big Masechta.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's
101 and 109.
In the middle of Teves, towards the end of Teves, we'll get there. Maybe even Shvat, around the Alf Shvat or so. So what's the Gemara tell us there? So you have two brothers who married two sisters. And Reuven marries the older one. And Shimon marries the younger one, but the young one's a katana. And by katana, kedushin doesn't really work unless the father. So we're talking about a case where she was a yisoma. And if there's no father, the kedusha katana only works in midirabanan. So Reuven's married to a gedola, it's a good marriage. Shimon's married to the Katana. It's not a full-fledged. It's only Midir Bun is in a marriage. What happens is, Reuven dies. So now Shimon has an obligation to Reuven's wife now, whose sister's with his wife. Right. So he's married to the Katana. But now the Yibum, the Zika from Reuven's death, but that happens to be the sister of his own wife. So what's he supposed to do? So He's not really married to his wife. It's only Midir Banan. So the Zika, which is Deraisa from Reuven's wife, would be stronger than the relationship he has with his current wife as a Katana. So what's the halacha? What do you do in that case? So this is a big machlokas. Rabbi Yeshua says, so Shimon has to divorce his wife, Leah, who's his wife now, Katana. He has to divorce her. And then he has to do Chalitza to Reuven's wife. So he loses both now. He loses his current wife, because he's not allowed to marry her. Why not? Because since there's a Zika from Reuven's wife, for him to wait till she's older, he's being pogea with his wife, the sister of his Zika. That's Aser. And he can't do Yibum with Reuven's wife because that's the sister of his current wife, which has a Derban level, so he can't marry either one. He does get to this one, Chalita to that one, and that's what Yeshua says, Oilol Meisha, Oilol Meisha's Chavero. But the Gemara says if we don't hold that way, only in this Misha, only this one, Zo, is where we do it. We hold like the other pinion, says the Gemara, continuing. Ella, in that situation, the Gemara says, Iker B'Gamliel, Iker B'Lazar. Either we say to him, wait, just wait out, don't do anything to Reuven's wife, wait until your wife, the Ketana, becomes a Gedola, according to the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Wait till she becomes a Gedola. And once she becomes a Gedola, that's going to Mimela. Sorry, 1 second. Then, right. Once later, the Ketana becomes a Gedola, that's going to be a full-fledged Kinyan, and that's going to knock out the need for Yibum or Chalitza to Reuven's wife. And you say, what, married to your Ketana. Or, says Rabbi Yeshua, Ikabalazar, rather, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, what you should do is we should train and encourage the Ketana to do Miyun. Miyun is a way of undoing a Kedusha Derban. Miyun, have an exit. She has an exit strategy, end the relationship with Shimon, and then Shimon is allowed to do either Yibum or Chalita to Reuven's wife, and it's not an Oilo Meishto, Oilo Meishis Chavero. Okay.
Well, what is this spot?
Because the Mishnah,
what does it say here?
The Mishnah says, Amru said, Zuhi Shamru, this is where we said Oilo. I mean this. Is it where else would he say it?
There's another case.
So Rishua says another case by that situation. Exactly. Yeah. He says it. He said, we don't hold that way. Only in this mission, Choftes, we say Zushu. So
this is
but
not what he says.
Not Kuftes.
Okay.
In Kuftes, we hold like either Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Eliezer, who have a different Eta in that scenario of older Gdol and Katana. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo tema maimer le Beishamai kona kinin gamor." When Beishamai says, remember Beishamai in the Mishnah told us that if two brothers die, and they marry two brothers marry two sisters, one brother dies rather, and then the third brother is maimer with the first one. Then the second brother dies, he's no obligation to the second wife because maimer is a full-fledged kedushin.
Beishamai says it's a good marriage.
Exactly. So Gemara says, don't think it's a full-fledged marriage. Lo tema maimer le Beishamai kona kinin gamor. It's not a complete marriage. Di bai lafuke sagi le begita. Because if it were to be a full-fledged marriage, it would be enough if he wanted to end the relationship, he could just give a get. We know it's not enough. You have to give a get and a chalita. So it's not a full-fledged marriage, but it's pretty strong. Ella, so what is it? Ella maimer le Beishamai eno kona elu lidchos bitzara bilvad. All it does is it knocks away the other sister so it doesn't aser her. So in the case of Reuven and Shimon, Reuven dies first. He does Mimer. So what that does is it doesn't kone Reuven's wife, but it happens if Shimon dies, it will not make Shimon's wife aser Reuven's wife onto... It basically, the way I'll say it, it puts a force field around Reuven's wife and his relationship. It doesn't solidify the relationship with him and Reuven, but the force field so that when Shimon dies, his wife cannot get into that force field that doesn't affect their relationship. She's just completely mutter. So it protects it, but doesn't solidify it 100%. So the Gemara says on the bottom of Chaf Tesam Aleph, Amar Rabbi Abin, Af Anon Nami Tanina, we also learn in the Mishnah the same idea that Beishamai doesn't say it's a full-fledged marriage, it's a partial marriage. How do we know this? Because Beishamai Omrim, Yikaimu in Lichachila Lo. So what's the case here? The case here that Beishamai is referring to, Yikaimu, is as follows. The mission we saw earlier in Daf Chavav, where two brothers marry two sisters, and then they fall to two brothers now. There's a case of four brothers, so the two sisters fall to two brothers. And each of them now is a sister of each other to the Zika. Now Reuven marries one of the sisters, Shimon marries the other sister, and then, oh, sorry, 1 second. All right, the case is, again, two brothers married two sisters, two brothers die, they both fall to the two remaining brothers. Now, even though they're not allowed to marry them, it's also because they're both sisters, and you're going to be pogeya in the sister of your Zika, either way you look at it, from both brothers into both sisters. If they were to do it, Beisham, if they were to get married, do Yibum, Yikaimu, we allow it to take place. So Yikaimu, only b'dievhed, if they were to do it. But l'chachila lo, we don't say you should go ahead and marry each of the brothers. So the Gemara says, so what's the proof from here that Maimer is not a full-fledged Kedushin? Says the Gemara on top of Chav Tesamon Beis. V'sagadaitach maimer lebeishamay kona kinyan gamur. If you were to hold that Beishamay held that maimer does do a full kedushin, you should do as follows. Yasem maimer v'yikne, v'zeh yasem maimer v'yikne. Tell one of the brothers to do maimer, and one to do maimer, it solidifies that relationship and knocks out the other sister. And the other brother do maimer with the other wife, the other sister, and that's going to solidify that relationship. So the fact that we don't suggest that tells us that all maimer does is protects from tzaros, protects from the co-wives of asking that relationship, but it doesn't completely solidify the relationship. And that's a raya. Gemara says, wait a second. Elamai, what kind of raya is this? If we're saying that, okay, maimer, if it doesn't do a full-fledged relationship, it at least has a dhia, it at least is a force field against the co-wives from asering the relationship. So say as follows. Why don't you say, do maimer, one brother does maimer with one sister, the other brother does maimer with the other sister, and that also, even though it's not a full-fledged relationship, it's still going to create this bubble around them to protect from the co-wives of asering. So that's not a proof. No matter how you look at it, whether a maimer is a full kinyan or not a full kinyan, either way, this is price is going to be problematic. So what are we going to explain? Maimer de teira dachi, de isure lo dachi. Maimer only works when it's mutter. It doesn't work when it's usser. So in the Hachanami here too, also maimer afilu afilu leman damar maimer kona ginin gamar maimer de teira kani de isure lo kani. So even in the opinion who holds that maimer works as a kinyan gamar, it only works when it's mutter, but doesn't work when it's usser. In other words, the case of our Mishnah is where one brother dies first. If two brothers marry two sisters, brother one dies. So the third brother does maimer. She's completely mutter. So in that case, maimer works. Whether maimer is a kinyan gamar or it's just a bubbled type of maimer, it works because it's a completely mutter. And when Shimon dies, that other sister is not going to impact that relationship. But in a case where at the moment of maimer, both sisters are already usher. Two brothers die and now two sisters come to two brothers. There's an isser there already. You can't now do mimer to get rid of the isser. Mimer only works when there is no isser. No matter how you slice it, whether mimer is a full kinin or a partial kinin, it's not going to work if the bashas, the time of the mimer, it was already usser. Then Ravashi says, Ravashi masni hachi. Ravashi learned a different understanding. He held that Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Lo Tema, his understanding of Beishamai was different than we said before. Lo Tema Maimer le Beishamai Dachi Dachia Gemur. Don't say that Maimer, according to Beishamai, knocks off the co-wife entirely. The Tarasa Chalitza Nami Lobai, and the Chalitza, you don't need the Tsar, doesn't need a Chalitza at all. Don't say that. Again, the Ella, rather, what should you say? Docha Umishayerhu. It pushes off the co-wife, but it still leaves over a little bit of a Zika. And you still need Chalitza. So the case is as follows. I'm back to the Mishnah. Two brothers marry two sisters. Reuven dies. Third brother does Mimer with Reuven's wife. Shimon now dies. Shimon's wife, he doesn't have the option of marrying her because he already did Mimer, but doesn't completely knock her off. He still requires to do Chalitza just to get rid of her. That's what Mimer does. So it's less extreme, less effective than the first understanding of Beishama, according to Rabbi Eliezer. And then according to this, Amar Rabbi Abin Af Ananami Tanina, the same thing we saw before, I'm also going to bring a Mishnah which supports the idea that Beishama holds it's not a full-fledged kinim. What does it say? Beishama Omrim Yikaimu, if they were the case of four brothers, two brothers married two sisters, two brothers died, the other two brothers married the two sisters, if they were to do that B'dievedi Kaimu, we allow them to stay married in but l'chachila lo. We don't advise them to l'chachila marry the two sisters. The Gemara says, like we said above, it's the same shak levitarya. V'sagadaitach maimer l'beishamai docha d'chia gemura. If you were to think that according to Beishamai, maimer does do a complete d'chia, it knocks off the co-wives entirely. So v'sagadaitach maimer, so therefore it should be ze yasem maimer v'yitche, ze yasem maimer v'yitche. So we should suggest, in the case where two sisters fall to two brothers, just have one brother do mimer to one sister, and the other brother do mimer to the other sister, and that's going to knock off the co-wives. The fact that we don't suggest it tells us that it doesn't even do that. It's less powerful than even being pushing off. It still remains, something's left over from the other sister. Gemara says, Ve'ela, Hakatani Beishamai Omrim, Ishto Imo Valuzu Teitza Mishimachos Isha. So, but doesn't the Mishnah explicitly tell us, the Beis Shammai holds, that if you do Maimer, it is a full, she is a full-fledged wife. And the other sister doesn't require anything. She's completely usher because of Achas Isha. It doesn't mention the need to do a chalitza. So Rav Ashi seems to be incorrect. So the Gemara says, Ela Yivama de Chazi Lekula Chazi Lemiktasa. Yivama de Lo Chazi Lekula Lo Chazi Lemiktasa. So what does the Gemara explain? So rather, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ella, right around where we are in the Gemara, Rashi writes, Ella yivama dechazya. Kolomar. Eliolam docha dechi gemur. Really, the Gemara says, even Ravashi agrees that when you do a mimer, it pushes off the co-wives entirely. Udekash lecha hasam nami lidchi. So why not in the other case of two sisters falling to two brothers, where we do not give the option of mimer? Why not there? Lo dami lemasitzin. It's not similar to our Mishnah. The Hacha here in our Mishnah, the chinafla the avid mimer, when the first wife falls to the third brother, and he does mimer, have a chazi lekulo. She was fit to everyone. Mila divam alisabim lachlots. He could have done mimer. He could have done nibum. Could have done chalitza. Hoka chazi lemiksasayo lemimer. The mimer the dachil achos lechashitipo. Have a hasim the tevayu naflu called the mimer. But here in the other case later on, where two sisters fall to two brothers. Before the mimer ever exists, velochazi lekulo. So and she's their both wives are not fit to both brothers. Then mile divama lochazi lemiksasa lefikach ein mimer docha chosa. In other words, mimer only works when yibum's an option. When yibum's an option, you could do mimer to do a kedusha derbanan in order to lead up to yibum. But in a case where yibum's not an option, then mimer is not an option either. So in the case of, again, two brothers married two sisters, the two brothers die, and the two sisters fall to the two other brothers, we don't allow for mimer, because we don't allow yibum to take place with the brothers to the sisters, so mimela, we don't allow mimer to take place either. Okay, very good. Now, the Gemara has a very lamdisha shaila right now about the nature of mimer. What exactly does mimer affect? And this end of the daf should be much easier. Says the Gemara, Boi Rabba. Rabba asks the following fundamental question. Mimer lebeis shamai nesuin osa o erusin osa. When they do mimer, does it create a marriage midrabanan or an engagement? Not an engagement in secular society, but an engagement in the halachic sense. Or does it create only an engagement, but you still require chuppah after that? What does mimer create? So the Gemara says, Amar le, Abaye says, lemai hilchasa. What in regards to which halach are you concerned with? So, if you're referring to, if he does mimer and she dies, is he going to inherit her? If he's a Kohen, could he be metameter? If she makes a neder, does he have the right, like any other husband, to be mefer, to undo his nedarim? Is that what we're talking about? Well, hashta, arusa ba'alma, in general, by an arusa, that a real arusa, in halachic sense, that ketzav kedushin, tani rebechir taught us, that ishto, arusa, that a wife who's only an arusa but not yet a nesua, not yet married, the loch is lo onen, the husband of the engaged wife, and if she were to die, he does not become an onen. He's not obligated to bury her. He's chayv a mitzvah so long as she's not buried still. She's still chayv a mitzvah. Onen doesn't apply. Vlo metamila, if he's a kohen, he's not allowed to be metame. He cannot go to the kever for her. V'chein hi, so to she, lo onenes, she's not an onenes if he were to die. Vlo metamas lo, and she does not become metame to him, which means there's no iser of a tumas mace. The Gemara, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us, Mishnah Kedushin rather, Chavtes tells us that there are three women are chayv in all los ases. There are three los ases that women are not chayv to do. One of them is cutting their beard, if they would have a beard, if they had a beard, cutting their payas, that doesn't apply to them. And the third one is they are allowed to, if they're kohenes, bas kohen, they are allowed to become mitame mace.
Also, they're allowed to do
those. Yeah, those three they're allowed to. The Isser does not apply to them. Those are three exceptions. All other Isserim apply to them. So what do you mean, lo metamas lo? What does it mean that she's not metamim? Cutting the beard, cutting the peos, and to mace for bas kohen. They're allowed to do those. The Isserim do not apply. So what does the Gemara mean here that she is not metame to him if she were to die? She's not chayef to keep it. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Vlomitamas, it's a little bit lower down than where we are in the Gemara. Vlomitamas ain't a tzricha lisasek bo. She's not required to be involved, not tuma. she's not required to be involved in the burial process. V'lav dafka nakiv lo metamas doesn't really mean metamas. That benos aron lo husara al tumah, like we just said, benos aron are not obligated to stay away from tumas meis. There's only the men. Ella idi the nakiv lo onenes. Since we saw lo onenes ditzrech le nakiv lo metamas, we just wanted a certain consistency in the language of the gemara, but it wasn't meant to be dafka. She's not allowed to become metamai to him.
That's if she's a husa.
Right, exactly. But then Rashi says, "V'lig nira," just a little bit, two lines down from where I stopped. "V'lig nira, lo matama." What appears to Rashi himself is lo matama means kigon biregel, during the regel, she Yisraelim mutarin al hatuma, where all of Klai Yisrael, not only Kohanim, but even Klai Yisrael have to be careful not to become tame, because the pasuk says, "Mivinivleya alasam lo sigu," that you cannot touch a nevela, and that the Gemara tells us is referring to on the regel. Everyone has to be metaher on the regel. So there too, also apparently the women also have to be metahe on the regel. So then we would say if it came to her husband, she would have to become tame. But in this case, it's only arusa; she would not have to become tame. Back to the brisa. So we say when it's a state of arusa, so he's not obligated in doing these certain things. She's not obligated in doing these things. Mesa, let's say she were to die as in the state of arusa, the Gemara continues, Eino Yorisha, she does not yorish him. Mace, if he dies, who gova ksuvasa, she does collect her ksuva. So that's all by an erison. So if that's the case by erison, nothing applies. There are no halachas that apply. So are we going to say that avad b'maimer mibay? Are we going to say by maimer, which is only a din derbanan, we have such a hot minute to think that anything halachic is going to be created by maimer? Certainly not. So it's pashut. The question above was pashut, that maimer is not going to obligate them in anything. Not Yerusha, not Onanim, not Kvura, not Tuma, nothing is created. So what's the Shiloh then? What's the question? What exactly does a Mimer affect? So the Gemara says, so Ella Le'inim Mesil Chuppa. Is there a requirement to bring her to a Chuppa now? Why? Do we say, Nesun Osa V'lo Bay Mesil Chuppa? Does Mimer have the same effect as Nisun and does not require bringing her under the chuppah? Oduma Erusin Osa, or does it only affect in an Erusin, Ubayi, Misil Chuppah, and still requires the next stage in the process of marriage, namely that of chuppah? So look at Rashi writes. Rashi says this is five narrow lines up, Velo Bayi Misil Chuppah. If you assume that Mimer does Nisun, you don't require a chuppah afterwards. Dim ba'le ba'karcha, if you would have ba'bia against her will, below chuppa, kani, it works. V'ibayisu lafuke begita sagila, and if you were to get divorced with her, all you need is a get, you don't need a chalitza anymore. Okay, so the Gemara says as follows. Amalei hashta lo avid ba'maimer, in a case where maimer was not done, k'siv yivama yivoleha, what mean yivama yivola, a bal karcha, against her will. He's allowed to do yibum against her will. So avad ba maimer mi bay. If a person does maimer, will we say anything different? So what's the logic here?
It's a question.
Uh-huh, I see. So the whole shaila was whether bia bal karcha is going to work, or do you have to bring it to the chuppah willingly? Did we say
that
mimer?
Bia is instead of chuppah.
Bia is instead of chuppah. No, no. Bia works for kedushin, but not for chuppah, not for nisun.
Nisun is chuppah, no?
Nisun is chuppah, but not bia. Nisun is chuppah, going in yichud.
But bia is the same. Kiddushin and chuppah is the same thing?
No. Kiddushin is the engagement. Chuppah is the marriage. So under the chuppah, when you first go under the chuppah, nothing's there.
Bia is
kiddushin here. Kiddushin,
it's less than chuppah.
Exactly. Oh. I know it sounds strange, sounds kind of backwards, but that's how it is. We don't do bia anymore for kiddushin. It's not allowed. We only do kesef. We do kesef kiddushin. You give the Moshe of Yisrael. We put the ring on. That's kedushin, and then then they do chuppah, which is basically understanding on the chuppah, and then we have that itself is the nesuin being under the chuppah after that, and then we have the shavu brachos. The question is, when they do mimer initially, the mimer, does that make it into erison only? And you still need to bring her into chuppah, and chuppah has to always be willingly. And if you were to be ba'aleh, ba'al karach, it wouldn't work. You need a chuppah birt baratom. Or do you say mimer itself creates a full nisuin? And then bia ba'al karach would be effective afterwards because you don't really need a bia because mimer completed everything. So Gemara says as follows. In general, let's say there's no mimer at all. And they were to do yibum. They had yavaleh. It works ba'al karach. If he, against her will, against the Yavam, against the will, the Yavam is Baal against the will, it's a good Yibum. Says the Gemara, if that works Baal Karcha without Mimer, so by making a case of Mimer, it's going to make it worse, it's going to make it less effective. It's hard to say that Mimer is going to say Baal Karcha won't work anymore. Mimer is only Dindir Banam. So Mimer only makes things easier to create the relationship. So the relationship could be bonded with a Bia Baal Karcha in the case of Yibum. So certainly, when there's mimer, a bia ba'al karcha is going to also have the same ease as solidifying the relationship in the yibum. That's the Gemara's answer. So the Gemara says, Amar lei, not necessarily true. Just because in general yibum works ba'al karcha, doesn't mean bia ba'al karcha is going to work if there's a mimer. Shani omer, as I say, kol ha'ose mimer v'yivamto, parcha mimena zikas yivamam. V'chala zikas erison. Not true. The effect of mimer is that once you apply mimer, it parcha, the zika flies away, and now there becomes an erison. Mimer does two things. It gets rid of yibum, the zika, and it creates an erison now. They're partially engaged, or engaged with the bottom. So once you got rid of the yibum, bia bar karcha doesn't work anymore. And you can't bring me right that if yibum works when there's no mimer bar karcha, so certainly it's going to work when there is mimer. Not true. Mimer has two effects, again. Very important yisod. Mimer ends the zika of the yibum, and it creates an erison at the very same time. So that's a possibility. So what's the halacha? Is mimer simply an erison, and you require chuppah? Or maybe mimer really is a nesuin, and you don't require chuppah? So Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring you a raya from the following case. Shemeres yavam is, she's waiting for the yavam. She's the yavama, the widow, waiting for the yavam to act. Bein yavam echad, Bein Shnei Yavamim, whether there is one brother or two brothers waiting. Reb Elazar, what's the case? Reb Eliezer Omer Yefer, that both brothers are able to do Mefer Nadarm. Normally, the lach is that only one who's engaged or married to a woman is allowed to do Hafars Nadarm. Someone else can't do Hafars Nadarm. So it says Reb Eliezer, whether there's one or two brothers waiting, either party could do Mefer Nadarm. Reb Shu Omer Lechav Olashnaim, only if there's one brother waiting to the Yibum, he's able to do Mefer Nadarm. But if there are two brothers remaining,
her
nether, yes.
Even though he's not her husband.
Exactly. There's some Zika there allows him to do that. So Rabbi Yeshua held, only if there's one brother who's alive, can he do Mefer Nadarm. But if there are two brothers, then Yafars Nadarm is not going to work. And the Gemara is going to explain the Svar behind all of them. And the third opinion is Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo le'achar of lo l'shnayim. You can't, even if there's one brother, two brothers, one brother, certainly when there's two brothers, in neither case could you do the Mefer Nadarm. So we have a three-way machlokas, every permutation, every opinion. Rabbi, again, just to review, Rabbi Eliezer held both parties, even two people could do the Hafar Nadarm. Rabbi Shua said only one brother, but if there are two brothers, then they cannot do it. And Rabbi Kiva says even in the case of one brother, even the one brother cannot do Mefer Nadarm. So Gemara says, let's understand this for a second. Bishlam, I understand the case, Rabbi Akiva Savar. Why does Rabbi Akiva hold that no one could do Yibum, no one could do Hafaras Nadarm, even if there's just one brother? Because he holds Ein Zika, Afilachad. He doesn't hold to the concept of Zika. So just when the brother dies, there's no lines drawn from the widow to the brother. There's no Zika, there's no relationship. So of course in that case, there could be no Hafaras Nadarm. And then according to
Because
we saw there's a machlokas in general whether there is Zika or there's not Zika. Now the fact that in general case.
So, but that's what it means, no Zika.
There was an opinion out there that we saw a few times that there's no such thing as Zika. A brother dies, there's an obligation of a mitzvah to do Yibum or Chalitza. But no one said there's a line drawn to them. You have an obligation to step in the shoes of your brother or decide not to. But there's no automatic Zika, automatic line drawn. So Rabbi Kiva held that there is no Zika, there's no line. So there's no relationship right now. He's a mitzvah, but there's no connection between the two. And since there's no connection, he's not allowed to do hafaras nedarim. That's according to Rabbi Akiva. And how do we understand the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, who held only if there's one brother alive, is there Zika. But if there's two brothers, there's no Zika. Let's see that inside. The Rabbi Yeshua, l'chad yizika. If there's one brother, then there is a line drawn. There's a relationship, automatic relationship built from the brother to the widow. But if there's two brothers, l'trei ein Zika. If there are two, they both have the possibility of doing Yibam Chalitza. Since they're both potentially able to, we don't draw a line to either one. So that's why in the case of two, neither one could do a farce the darm. Ela l'Rebbe Eliezer, according to him, who held that even if there are two brothers, they could still do a farce the darm. So what does he hold? And he nami the kusavar yesh Zika. Okay, granted, he holds that there is such a thing as Zika. There are relationships, automatic relationships and lines drawn. But Bishmal Chad Mefer, one could do a farce and darm. But two? If there are two brothers, there's Zika that much that two brothers could do it? So must be a case, says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Ami, Hach b'mayaskinan, kigon de'ovid b'maymer, ube shamayhi, de'amar maymer kona kinan gamer. It's a case where one of the brothers did maymer. Now there are two brothers, and right now there's no Zika for two brothers, so one of the brothers steps up and does maymer, says Rabbi Eliezer, this works within the opinion of Rabbi of Beis Shammai, who held that the Mimer is Kin Gummer, and he solidifies that relationship and has the ability now to be made for Nadarm. We do find in general, Rabbi Eliezer, we don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara tells us. Why? He's a Shmosi. What does Shmosi mean, the Gemara says? We don't pass like him. So some say because he was placed in excommunication. He's placed in Nidui, is in Menuda, so based on the Gemara's in Bab Metzia that he was fighting and he got kicked out of the base Medrash. Others say Shmosi means he was a Shamite. He came from Shammai. So it makes sense that Rabbi Eliezer works within the opinion of Beis Shammai. Even though we don't normally hold like Beis Shammai, Rabbi Eliezer does hold like Beis Shammai. So that's why he held, if in the case of two brothers, if one steps up and does Maimer, he has the ability now, because it's a Kinyan Gamar, to do Mefer Nedarim.
Is Tanai?
What?
Is Tanai Tana?
Hey, Rabbi Eliezer, yeah. A Talmud of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is one of the earlier ones. Rabbi Eliezer was one, not later.
What do you mean, like, they kicked him out? Who kicked?
There's a whole, we'll talk about it afterwards, but there's a whole discussion about a certain halacha, Gemara Bava Metzia. It's a fascinating agata. You actually like this a lot. I'll show you where it is. So the Gemara says, okay, now why do we bring this whole discussion? Now, Iamris Bishlama Nisun Oseh, Mishim Hachim Mefer. Now, we understand if Maimer can create a Nisun, so now they're fully married, and he has the ability to do Mefer Nadarim. Ella, Iamris Erisin Oseh, Hechim Matzer Mefer. But if Maimer only does creates an erison, how is this engaged husband able to be made from the darim of this woman? Hatnan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Nedarim, I imagine, that Nara Hamurasa, an engaged woman, Avia Ubaila Mefirm Nedareha, that the father and her husband together do Hafars Nedarim. So what's the shahla here? There's no father. She's ready to get married. Right, I guess they're assuming here. We'll assume like right now, without getting involved in the Rishonim here, that it's a situation where the father, when she's only engaged, both the father and the engaged husband have to, in tandem, do the Hafars Nedarim. Not, it can't be one on their own, it has to be in tandem. So the Gemara says, Eina Chanami, you're right, when we say here that the engaged husband who does Maimer does the Hafars Nedarim, Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Nachman Ritzak, my Mefer, Mefer Beshutvis. He doesn't do it alone, he does it in partnership with the father, consistent with the mission of the Dharm. That yes, an engaged husband can do Mefer Nedarim, but only with the consent of the father as well. And that's what Rabbi Elazar had in mind, that he is Mefer with Shpeshutvis of the father. Now the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Damar Maimer L'Beis Shammai Eino Kone Ela Litchos L'Tzar B'Vad, we saw earlier the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who explained the opinion of Beis Shammai. It wasn't mean Beis Shammai held Maimer, it's not a real Kinyan Gamor. All it meant was it knocks off, it creates this force field, this protection, that the co-wife is not going to ruin that relationship. So again, just to review, two brothers married two sisters, and there's a third brother. One brother dies. The brother does mimer to the first wife. And the second brother dies. That wife does not bounce into, does not, you know, get into that bubble.
She's
the bubble's created, not a full-fledged marriage yet from the third brother and Reuven's wife, but he did solidify that and protect her from that second wife of asking her from being a sister of his current wife. So that's what it does. So according to this, says the Gemara, Amai mefer b'shutvis. According to this opinion, why do you need shutvis? What's the shaila here? You don't need shutvis because the husband is nothing. The hafar sadarim should simply come from the father. But him, he hasn't done anything. All he did was create a force field and protect her, but he didn't build a relationship with her yet. So he shouldn't have the ability at all to do any hafar sadarim, according to Rebbe Eliezer. So this is the same Rebbe Eliezer before, who explained Beis Shammai as not creating a relationship, just creating a force field. Is the same Rebbe Eliezer here who said if there are two brothers who are remaining, then you can do a hafar sadarim. Well, what's the case? When would that be allowed? So the Gemara says, Amilcha Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer responds as follows. Amar the Amriana, okay, I said this, Einu Kona El Dechot Letzar Bavad, Lo Sage Lebigita. So I only said this, that you don't require a get. El Abay Nami Chalitza, Lafar Nadarm, El Abay Nami Chalitza. But Lahafi Nadarm, Mi Amriyan. When I said that it's not a full-fledged kin in regards to Mimer, it didn't mean that there's nothing created. It just meant that it was a partial creation where you still do require chalitza. The zika still exists to a certain extent, but it did create it also to require a get. It has this hybrid, some quasi-relationship was built. So it created enough relationship to require a get, but not enough relationship to undo the zika. So you still do need a chalitza if they were to end the relationship. So too, says the Gemara, so too, says Rabbi Lazar, it created enough of a relationship, just like it created enough of a relationship to require a get, it also created enough of a relationship to allow him to be Mayfair Nidarm. That's how Rabbi Eliezer gets out of this. So then the Gemara says, Ibai Zema, alternatively, we could suggest, Amilcha Rabbi Eliezer, he said, Rabbi Eliezer says as follows, Ulu Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Minicha, does it really make sense, or even according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak? Why, what did he say? He had suggested Beshutvis, I think, right? Does it make sense according to him? Mikatani Yafru, Yefar Katani, it doesn't say Yifru, that they are going to Mefer Nedarim, that he and the father will do it together. It says Yefar. Sounds like he alone will be Mefer Nedarim. So it's a kasher according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Ela hocha b'mayaskin. So what case are we dealing with here in the Gemara? It must be a case of Sh'omda B'din. They went to a din. They went to deal with this. U'paskol mizonos mishalo. And they were posik her. She should receive a certain amount of money, mizonos, from him. Uch the Rav Pinchas Mishmei de Rava, who held Damer Pinchas Mishmei de Rava, call Noderes, Adas Baila, he Noderes. So, since it was a situation, you're right, there's really, really is no complete Mimer. Mimer does not create a relationship. But since we took them to Din, and basically decided, and they both agreed, that he's going to give her X amount of money while they're in the state of Mimer until they get Yibum, until they complete it. So, since that happened, she said, you know what? I like this guy a lot. Any nether I take, it's going to be on with the Tanai that he's going to agree to that. So since she's being Noderis, Aldas, the husband, that allows him to undo it because that was his whole intention. But really, halachically, there's no relationship built. Mimer doesn't do enough. But again, it does do enough since they had this agreement to pay X amount of money per month for her. So she said, I'm going to take upon myself. Any nether that I make will be only with his consent. Okay. Shkoyach, everybody should have a good day, a good week.